we're thankful to have our brother DJ DeMarco here. I had the privilege of serving with his grandfather on the presbytery, Eugene DeMarco, for a long time. He's now with the Lord, and then his Uncle Sam. And you all, most of you, I think, are familiar with his dad, David. Just a generational blessing that has come down in the DeMarco family and will continue, I'm sure, to his children and grandchildren as well. So missionaries have just a dear place in my heart and our heart. That is the heart of God. God is a missionary. He's the good shepherd. What does the good shepherd do? He leaves the 99 and he goes to the one that is lost. And there are no lengths, there are no depths, there are no heights. There is nowhere he will not go to capture his treasure, which is his creation. And so when you think of a missionary and a missionary's heart, that's what I want you to hear today. You'll hear many things that our brother's going to share, but I want you to hear his heart. I want you to hear the heart of God, because we get to partner with that. Who is more valuable, the one that goes or the one who sends? It's not a competition. It is the Lord has a place for both. You know, and so the Lord says, if you give someone a drink of water, you know, you get a prophet's reward, right? If you give a water to a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. Well, you know, someone made the vessel that the water was in. Somebody went and drew the water, et cetera, et cetera. I want you to hear the missionary heart of God tonight, and specifically to the sphere that our brother, his wife, and family are going, so that you can participate in this wonderful mission work of God. He who knew no sin became sin as a missionary, that we might become the righteousness of God. He left his place to come to our place, God's missionary heart. So with that, would you please welcome our brother DJ as he comes to share.
Hello, everyone. It's awesome to be here this morning. Like Pastor Rob said, unfortunately, Lindsay and Koa couldn't make it. I don't know if you guys remember last time we were here, but my wife was very, very pregnant. I'm pretty sure we were like 3 weeks out from Koa being born. And so I'll give Pastor Rob some time up there, but whenever he can, he'll throw up a more recent picture of Koa. And Lindsay, just to show you guys how much he's grown. He's a year and a half right now, but yeah, I just want to say thank you again, Pastor Rob, for having me, having Lindsay and Koa, and you as a church family. Just, I know that you guys are a praying church. I know you guys love missions, and like we feel it on the mission field, and we couldn't do what we did if it wasn't for you guys. And so I really appreciate that. And it's just crazy. You guys are giving honor to even, you know, my grandfather who is in heaven, and my uncle, and, you know, and it's just, it's, I'm very aware that I'm like reaping some of the ground that they plowed way before. And I just want to say thank you just even for that. Cause that's just, it's amazing. Just the kind of, it speaks to the kind of people that you guys are. And so, yeah, super excited to be here. And, yeah, I'd love to share some stuff about Zambia. Pastor Rob, could you throw that picture up of Lindsay and Koa, if able? If not, I could just get right into it. There we go. So there's Koa right there. That's my little boy. He's a year and a half. So that's about as recent as it gets. I think that was taken like 3 days ago. And so he's getting huge, and I freaking love him and love Lindsay. And it's just, oh, man, he's hilarious. He doesn't have an off button. He's just everywhere all the time, which I guess he's grown up on the mission field. There's a little craziness that's kind of in it. Anyway, when he actually gets more tired, he doesn't, you know, get like lazy. He actually just like cranks it up a couple notches. And so he's constantly just running everywhere and keeping us busy, and love him. Love him so much. And so, yeah, just wanted to give you guys a little bit of picture of that. And So this past, we left about in March. I think last time we were at the church, it was the previous July, but in March we left for Zambia, and we were there for 6 months. And what we do within Overland Missions is we lead two-week mini missions trips, and we do everything on the front end, recruiting for that stuff, helping the people that we're bringing from the States, fundraising. We also, when we get on the ground, we go scout the place out. We, you know, make the meal plan. We get all the food before and all of that stuff and receive the team. And so we, it's a lot. It's like a month worth of work for like 2 weeks of a trip. And it was just amazing fruit. We did three trips in Zambia and we saw, 839 salvations, which was just like crazy. And then we saw 145 healings and we saw 199 people baptized with the Holy Spirit. Zambians, people that, have never heard the gospel, because we go into the more remote areas. You don't really find us as much in Zambia in the cities, but we go out, you know, 16, 18 hours into the bush, 8 hours from a grocery store, by car, not by walking, by car. And so it's super remote. We camp among them in the village. And so I just wanted to share those statistics, but also I got a couple of pictures just to give you guys a little bit of picture of like what it's like. And I want to share some testimonies. And then I'll share what we're moving into as a family. So, in no particular order, Pastor Rob, you could just throw one up. I'll tell you to change it to the next one. So I actually want to share this testimony. So as I told you, like, tents in the background. But this, the guy on the right, Pastor Jack, I just wanted to share a brief testimony about. He was actually a Baptist pastor that we came into relationship about a year and a half ago, who did not believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but had questions when we kind of came into contact. And through different encounters and meeting up with him and him asking about the things of the Spirit and asking about what is this in Acts chapter 2, he started to become more open to the point where, all right, hey, I'll go on a two-week trip, whatever. And so he ended up miraculously receiving all of his money from just someone anonymously donating. And this is like the second part. Yes, we go to people to tell them the gospel, but it's also about empowering the local church, empowering people in America so that they can get a fire for the lost there, either for the nations to go to the nations or for back in their own Jerusalem, in their own local body. And so a week before the trip, he happened to be, I was in Zambia at the time, but he ended up, you know, getting radically healed from a hip injury that he had 2 years ago, where he broke his hip skiing and he couldn't run, and he got miraculously healed and was running around this church. And in that moment was like, I guess the Lord healed, so why don't I ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And in that moment, like, speaks in tongues for the first time, gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, comes on this trip, and he doesn't know anything about this stuff. And, you know, on the first day, he goes out to the houses, and the Lord just starts speaking to him in, like, words and prophecies. He lays his hand on his first person ever, and they just fall out under the power of God. He's just like, what is going on? And so much so was impacted from this trip. The Lord just kept using him and healing and just words of knowledge and words of wisdom, and just, like, so radically changed his life that at the end, it came to him, and he's like, DJ, what am I going to do? Like, I'm the senior pastor of a Baptist church. Like, I don't even believe what we stand for anymore. Like, and I was like, well, all right, the Lord's going to do one of two things. You're going to either tell them and they're going to be like, all right, cool, just keep on. And you're going to see the Holy Spirit move in your church like never before. Or they're going to be like, all right, you're fired. And then the Lord has something else, I guess. And so he came back and he like presented the board. He's like, I no longer believe that the gifts are dead. Walks through it and he's like, I know that there are for today. And his board looks at him and he's like, well, you kind of already figured this, you were this way anyway, and so we're fine with you still being the pastor. And I'm like, that's awesome. And so, like, just in November, he preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and like half of his congregation, like, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're out evangelizing. And it's just like an incredible testimony of a life change, light set on fire, and he's like, it's just amazing. So I just wanted to share that testimony. We could go to the next picture. This is just like us eating. I'm just giving you a little picture of like what it's like. We cook everything over a fire when we're out there in the bush. And then we have our big truck in the background that we kind of, and then there's Koa when he was real tiny being out there on the bush. And That's his little sleeping bag. Just cute photos. But so he came out with us. It wasn't just me. And there's Lindsay. I forget what her name is, but oh yeah. You know, I had to change all the tires in that car just to give you a picture of what it's like. Need a lot of maintenance on those dirt roads. Next picture. Yeah, so these are like night meetings that we do at the end of the night where we preach the gospel and lay hands on the sick. And after we've done all day going door to door, and you can go to the next picture. There again, that's the truck. That's Shalom. That's one of our, that dude is amazing. He's in a walking revivalist. I mostly put Pastor Jack, who I talked about with him, because this dude just, everywhere he went, demons were getting cast out, people were getting healed, and they're like, all right, he'll experience the thing of the Spirit with him. But he's an amazing man of God, and he's one of our disciples who is now, he translates, but he's really like a minister of the gospel with us, and just as much a minister as we are. And then this house, the guy in the orange jacket, the lady in the green headscarf, and the two kids at this house, all four got saved, all four got healed. The husband had like stomach issues, and the wife was vomiting blood, and all got like radically healed. And we were actually going to walk past that house, and then Joe, who's in the hat in the middle, he's like, hey, how about we stop here? And they're like, man, we were really hoping you guys would, you know, stop here. And they had never heard the name of Jesus. Never, you know, and then all four got baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, and it was just an incredible transformation just in that house. You can go to the next picture. And then this testimony is awesome. So this was during our second trip. You see the tall gentleman in the back. His name is Miambe, and the woman in the yellow hat, Malaka, and then the girl to her right in the yellow, her name is Gift. And so Gift was actually a disciple, and brought the other three, well, really the two ladies, to this house so that we could come and minister to them. And so we get to the house and, you know, we're sharing the gospel, and I forget her name. The woman in the blue in the middle, just get radically touched by God. She accepts Jesus. She was like weeping, a lot of like internal, like emotional healing that the Lord did. But we noticed that Malaka in the middle, she just wasn't, she didn't seem like she was there. And we found out very quickly it's because she didn't actually speak the language that we were translating into. I'm like, oh. And so, fortunately, Pastor Felix, who has the bag on the right, in the white collared shirt, he's like, well, I know that language. And it happened to be like some obscure Zambian language that wasn't even in that region. And so we're like, awesome. And so we get to finally talk to her, get her name. And she's like, before we say anything, she's like, I need healing. We're like, oh, okay. All right. Well, what do you need healing for? And she's like, I'm blind. And I'm like, okay, awesome. And then while we were walking up to the house, one of the people's like, man, I'd really love to see blind eyes open today. You know, right before we get to the house, of course, because that's how the Lord works. And so usually we like to share the gospel and then we'll pray, but we felt kind of a prompting from the Holy Spirit to just like pray now. There was just kind of that demand, and like, so we're like, hey, we're going to pray over you and we're going to believe that your eyes are open. And so we lay hands on her, and after we're done praying, she like looks up and she's like, that's a blue shirt. That's a red shirt. That's a white shirt. She just keeps going blue, red, white. She's like, I can see that thing in that other house over there. And so she's just like ecstatic, had a huge smile on her face. And we're like, hey, now we want you to know this wasn't us. This was Jesus. This was Jesus who healed you. And we got to share the gospel with her. And right there, she gave, at 81 years old, gave her heart to the Lord, which was amazing. And then right after that, she's like, well, you know, I'm also like partially deaf. I can't hear very well. We're like, well, I mean, he healed your eyes, so let's pray over your ears too. And so we prayed over her ears, and she's like, man, I can hear. Go. And she told one of our people to like run over to the other like house, like, go over there and say something. She's like, I can hear you. And she was so ecstatic. And then she also proceeds to tell us that her husband, is also blind. And as soon as she finishes telling us that, her husband, Nyambe, walks into the house, of course, because the Lord has great timing like that. And so I look at Nyambe, we meet him, and we're like, hey, you know, this is just what happened to your wife. She just got healed by Jesus. And we believe that the Lord is going to do the same for you. And so right there in that moment, we go over to his wife, and we're like, hey, there's no difference in the Holy Spirit. You can go over and you can pray for your husband and you'll see his sight restored. So she goes over, lays her hand on her husband, prays for her husband, and he's like, whoa. And it just like can see. And then they both kind of say together, he's like, wow, we didn't realize this whole time that you guys were white people. And I'm like, yes, yes we are. And then he accepted Jesus that day too. Just a crazy testimony of just what the Lord was doing in these villages. This has happened time and time again. We saw a 108-year-old receive Christ for the first time. She was like, now I realize why I lived this long, was to hear this. And so I have no idea if she's still alive. I mean, 108, she probably, I don't know, she could have passed away, but she met her Savior at 108 years old, which is amazing. And there was I can keep sharing testimonies, but we'll continue in picture. Next picture. Oh, is that it? Is that all of them? Okay, I'll tell you when to throw the next one on then. But yeah, so there were just so many just amazing testimonies. Even someone, Ricky Forrester, who I got the opportunity to be his cabin leader at camp that we do in the summers. And just like him, seeing him like pray over people. And the first house that he went to, my brother he was actually with, he was just terrified. And he's like, I don't want to, whatever. And Elijah's like, all right, go share the gospel as we're sitting down with the family. And he just like tenses up and is completely petrified, but chooses in a moment to open his mouth. And then for 30 minutes, he preaches about the love of Christ. And 12 out of the 14 in that household got saved that day. And since then, Ricky has just been, he's huge. He's like he's like 6'7". And he's like 280 pounds. He's just a big dude. Plays football for Geneva. And he's just like a bowling ball, right? Or like a wrecking ball at Geneva now. Bringing his, you know, teammates to Christ. Bringing them to church. And like, this is just like some of the life change that happens. And that's what we believe on these trips. And so, thank you again. Because these testimonies, you guys sowed into. And are very much credited to your account. And so, I just want to thank you guys for that. And that's a little bit of how our season went. So some exciting news is we're still staying with Overland, just to kind of clear that up. But we were actually making a transition. Before, we would be 6 months in the States, recruiting, getting these people on trips, 6 months overseas. So the Lord had really been putting on Lindsay and I's heart to make this transition into what we call sector, which is sector is just that traditional missionary. We're doing discipleship. We actually go there. We, you know, purchase a house or rent it. Like, we're investing our life there, you know. And so we are actually making a move in 15 days, believe it or not. It's crazy that it's come to this place that will be shown. I can't say it because of its sensitive, just for the disciples and stuff like that. So Pastor Rob, if you want to throw the map up. But yeah, so this is the country that we're moving to in 15 days. And we are super excited to be able to see a move of God in this area. If you don't know much about, I'm actually going to point to the city that we're going to be in. It's not actually marked, but it's like right there, like on the kind of coast. I know that's very ambiguous, but south, east, but anyway. But that's what we're moving to, and man, it's kind of crazy what the Lord has been doing. This nation is, if you look at some places, it says 99% Muslim. More accurately, I would say 90% Muslim and 9% atheist, agnostic, very much following the trend of Europe. And it is a country of 85 million people, and there's estimated 100 to 200,000 Christians in the whole nation. It's Catholic, Greek Orthodox, that's everything. So 0.03%. In the specific city, we're going to be in the third largest city of Turkey, in the place that I had pointed to. There's 3 million people in that city, and 100 Christians, if you look it up. And since we've actually been there twice, on the front end of Zambia and on the back end, and we have relationship with the churches there, that's an accurate number. That's not just a random thrown-up statistic. There are about 100 Christians in that whole region. And so we're believing that the Lord is just going to do a radical work in this area. And so we're moving there. What does that look like? You know, we're finding a place to stay. We have to have 12 months of rent up front, because that's just how it is in the Middle East, I guess. And maybe it's because we're foreigners. We haven't been there long enough to figure that out yet. We also have to have about $6,000 in order to get a visa in that country. And we're going to be purchasing a vehicle. So we're, what Pastor Rob was referring to, we're looking to raise about $33,000. We have about 20 of that right now. And so we're just believing that the rest is going to come in, because it is, because he's a good God. And so we're excited. We're going to be leaving in 15 days no matter what. But just kind of captivated by this region, because I don't know how many of you guys know this, but like, this is, Paul did a lot of ministry in this area. I don't know. As the Lord was just creating a burden upon Lindsay and I's heart for this nation to give our lives to see people come to know Christ, and the Lord is moving. I know 100,000 to 200,000 doesn't sound like a lot, but in 2006 it was 10,000. So in 15 years, we have tenfold in growth. And so the Lord is doing something in the undercurrent, and I just refuse to believe that Paul and some of the early disciples and Timothy and some of those guys that were there that were looking at their neighbors and believing God for salvation for them, to the move of God that happened. And I just, I refuse to believe that those prayers are dead. You know? Like I read in Ephesians 3, Paul is saying, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, there may be salvation, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever." And I just refuse to believe that this country's portion is to be Islamic, is to be Muslim, is to be 90, 99% to not have, you know, a presence. There is so much soil that it's been tilled in that area, and I just believe that we're just partnering with whatever the move of God is there. So we're excited to move there. We're not going alone. We have a team within Overland. There are two other couples. One of the couples has a young boy who's 6 months older than Koa. So Koa is going to get a best friend to grow up with, which is amazing. And then there's a single guy who's also fundraising. So our team of seven, we're just believing for a move of God. We're believing for signs and miracles. And, you know, they've had religion preached to them. And I believe that this undercurrent of atheism, agnosticism, kind of new age kind of movement that's happening even in that specific city is because they realize that Islam doesn't work, that religion doesn't work, and what they need is a real touch from a loving God. And what they need is the miraculous. They need someone that personally is like, "Hey, I died for you personally. Not just up there. I do love. I am a father. I want relationship. I'm not just up there." And so we're super excited for the assignment that the Lord has for us. And just thank you guys even for partnering with us with that. And yeah. So I want to thank you guys for that. That's what we're doing. That's what we have done. And I kind of want to make a little bit of a transition, because I believe like the Lord put something on my heart for you guys this morning. There's this verse in 1 Corinthians 8:2 that says, basically, if someone thinks that they know something, they don't know as yet they ought to know. And I was approached with this verse of being like, okay, you think you know that people need to be sent, or you think you know what my salvation is, but you don't really know as you ought to know. Recently, I was just captivated by the fact of just what the Lord has done for us. And I preach this all the time in the bush at different churches of, like, there was never a plan B. Like, you know, Adam and Eve didn't just slip up and surprise God. You know, like, there was always the plan to send Jesus. And I think I preached that a lot, but I don't think I really understood the revelation of the weight of actually what that meant. And so this one in particular verse, Ephesians 1:4, says, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So he chose us before the foundations of the world, before he created everything, to be holy and blameless. And I almost had this picture of, like, there you have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit before all things were created, because they were both all at the beginning. I think we can all agree at this. And they're like, we want to make man. We want to make someone. What would they be like? We want to make them in our likeness. It starts going down the different ways of, like, well, they're not going to be slaves. Like, we want them to be more than that. We want them to be our friends. And then, you know, we can go through the different relationship. They can be our brother, because we're brothers in Christ, you know, brothers with Jesus, that he wanted to be a father, that he, at the end of all age, that there's a great wedding, that he wanted, you know, that he's the bridegroom and we're the bride. And it's just this relationship that he wanted to have. And he wanted us to be holy and blameless, while also us choosing. And I feel like that they just, like, okay, now this is the perfect, this is, like, who we want, this is the man, this is, you know, Rob that we want to have, this is DJ, this is Koa, this is, you know, all right, now, because they're God, like, what's it going to take to get there? And this just revelation hit me of just, like, oh, it really wasn't plan B. In order to have a people that chooses him, that loves him, that can walk in this relationship, he had to have known that if he created man in this way, that they would eventually choose the knowledge of good and evil. That, you know, that would be one of the costs. That there would be covenants made with the people that the Lord never really wanted to get into. That he knew that he would eventually have to send a son, that would actually be the price to get the exactly who they wanted, the relationship they wanted. And then this realization, this revelation hit me of, like, so Jesus, you're telling me that in the foundations of the world, you pictured relationship with me right here, right now, as it is. And he was like, yeah. This is what I was looking for. That's why Hebrews 12 said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, because they knew before they put any action into it that this is why Jesus talked about that, like, okay, yes, John the Baptist might be the greatest of the prophets, but he's still nothing compared to what you guys have, which is the Holy Spirit, the incorruptible seed living on the inside of us. Craziness. And so often, how often do we live in a place where we don't have, that we actually aren't holy, that we are actually aren't blameless before him? Everything that was done, there was no plan B. This is the greatest hour that the Lord envisioned to have relationship with you. That we no longer have to go to Jerusalem to go see Jesus because he's stuck in one place. You know, that we actually have the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us, that there is no place that we can go. There's no place that we can go that he's not there. And that the fullness of the wrath, the sin debt, everything was paid when Jesus went to the cross, when he defeated death, when God raised him from the dead, that we no longer, and so often, how do we still think that we have to earn, that we have to, I'm just captivated by this, and that we have also been entrusted with that same message. I just think that's so wild. God could have just went and did it all. He could have just, I think of even like, he could have just had one big, like, open vision, like he, or just have all the angels show up like he did the shepherds when Jesus was born. That just solved everything, you know? But no, like, he created us for a relationship. It wasn't like, he wanted to do it with us. That was always the plan, with communion, being together. Like, it was not to look down upon, huge, and I'm just sitting in this because I'm looking at that stark difference of the God of Islam and the God of our Jesus. They might say that they come from the same place and they're both gods of Abraham, but they're completely different gods. Not even on the same planet. Our God is so personal. For God, it just took on so much more meaning. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. The world that he created from the foundation, that he knew the cost, he knew the price, he knew the agreements that he'd have to get in, he knew that they would want a king instead of him to be king, you know, and that's when they put Saul upon them. Like, he knew what would happen, but the cost that he was the only one that could pay. No one else could pay that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And then we read in 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. And this is the appeal, I feel like, this morning, whether it's missions, whether it's here, we have been entrusted as those ministers of reconciliation. God's appeal to man through us. But sometimes we're like, hey, well, I'm not ready. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the gifts. I'm not on the mission field. I'm not going to the Middle East because there's really anything special. I mean, like, it's been an honor to, you know, my grandfather and my dad and my family have been in the ministry. But when you really break DJ down, I'm kind of above average at math. I've never really been a great speaker. First message is like, didn't even preach into the mic. I just read straight scripture without looking up because I was scared to death. Still am that way to a degree, but Lord's good. But there's nothing really, it's his spirit in us. Chooses the foolish things in this world, shame the wise. And I was captivated by the prodigal son story. In this aspect, so often it's just an amazing story. I mean, in what time in our life, I think everyone can say, like, hey, I was that prodigal. Like, I came back and the Lord accepted me, or maybe I wasn't doing something right and the Lord still accepted me. But I was actually captivated by the other brother, probably for the first time. And so, Luke 50, I mean, you know the story. The younger brother asked for his inheritance beforehand, and then goes and squanders it on prostitutes and all the things of the world, and then there's a drought, and he ends up working at some pig farm and basically wishing he could eat the pig food. And then it dawns on him, well, my father's servants at least eat better than this. I'll go home. And when he goes home, the father sees him a long way off and comes running after him. And before, even though he was like, you know, I don't deserve any of this, I'll be a servant, the father throws a robe around him, shoes on his feet, you know, a ring upon his finger, and celebrates, slaughters the fattened calf. And I've been captivated by the other brother who was out working on the fields, and he heard that this happened. He got so mad, you know. So in Luke 15... but he was angry and refused to go, verse 28, to go into the party. This is the brother. His father came out and entreated him. I always thought the father kind of came out and was like, dude, come on, get your act together, your brother's home. Like, let's go, let's celebrate this thing. But that word entreated is actually comfort or exhort. And so really, even the father had the same posture that he did the other prodigal son, as he did with this son. He comes out and he actually comforts his son, like, I get it, you're angry. And then his son is like, look, you know, For years I've served you. I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you were always with me, and all that is mine is yours. And I was just so hung up on that. I'm like, oh my goodness. Before I was like, I felt like the father was saying, like, son, you're always with me. Like, everything that I have is yours. And it's so not his heart. He was reminding his son, like, listen, you didn't have to be on that field working to try to earn what you already have. Or earn a place with me. That fattened calf has been always available to you. You know, relationship with me has always been available to you. And this is how I felt in this moment when the Lord was showing me, like, listen, like, DJ, like, everything I have is yours. I know you're tired working out in the field, but, like, you don't need to earn it. You don't need to be out there sweating, thinking, I got to earn this inheritance. I got to be a good son. I got to work at this thing. He was reminding his son, listen, this is the place that you have with me. You know, you have the ring. You have the authority of the family. You have the covering, the robe that was put on you. You are a part of this thing. And that's why when we look in, you know, why we can go out and we can be, and I feel like I'm making this appeal of like, hey, you don't need to strive. You don't need some special education. You need the Holy Spirit inside of you to just go. Pastor Rob was talking about it. We're already right standing with the Lord. We already are righteous in Him. If we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we're new creations in Christ. Old has passed away. And that's why we can be these messengers of reconciliation. He's making His appeal through us. And I feel like we need to be reminded of that so often, because so often I put my hands back on that plow and I start trudging. And the Lord's like, hey, wait a second. Come on in. Come into my rest. Come into my place. Like, you are my ambassador. You can go out. The work of the field has already been tilled. Jesus already did the work. It's completed. He wants to do it through us. One of the things I see a lot in the Middle East is there's a lot of visions of Jesus. And that's like amazing. You know, people coming to Christ through seeing Him in a vision or seeing Him in dreams. And Islamic people, they hold dreams in very high esteem, which is why they listen to Him and people. But I started thinking about it, like, Lord, like, why is that so? Like, why has that been the chosen? Why don't you do that to people in America all the time? And He's like, I do, but the reason I do it in that area is there's no one there. There's no one there to tell them. How do you reach a person that has no access? And He's like, think of the stories that you've heard of those people that have, what have they always been used to do afterwards? It's like, oh, preach your gospel. Yeah. To be my witness. And so even in the Lord, even in the times when He directly leads someone to Christ, it's always for other people to do it with. You know, that's like how we do it. I'm not, like, it shouldn't have to be that way. But yeah, I'm even thinking about, I don't know if anybody knows who this person is, but there's this British rapper named MIA. She's actually from Sri Lanka. And a couple years ago, she was driving in London on a highway and has an open vision of the Lord while she's driving, and ends up accepting the Lord. And through that, like, now she's getting a ton of criticism because she basically released an album that talks about her conversion to Christ. And I'm like, dang, no one witnessed to her, but yet now what she's being used to do is be a witness. You know what I mean? Like, this, it was always planned to do it together. For, you know, Romans 8 talks about that we actually get to share in the glory. Obviously, we give glory back to the Lord. This is this crazy, you know, give glory to the Father gives glory to the Son gives glory back to the Father, the Holy Spirit, you know, it's just like no one actually takes it, it seems like, but we're just all honoring and humility and everywhere, which is awesome. But it's like we actually get to partake in that. We actually get to sit across from someone and see them see Christ for the first time, and it changes their life forever, and then their destiny changes forever. And so this is our job. Like, it's a great commission. It's I hate that I'm saying this because I always think this is so corny, but it's not a good suggestion. It's a great commission. Like, this is like the thing that the Lord commissioned us to do, whether it is here in Washington, whether it's in literally this neighborhood, Judea, Samaria, whether it's in the Middle East, Africa, all of that. And my question today is, are we living on that mission? Missionary is not really a word in the Bible. It's not, if you look it up, it's not a word. But it's been given to ones that are on a mission, sent ones. And so I realized coming back to the States that, like, I didn't want being in the States to be the same as it has been before. Like, I want the Lord to move in every day. And the Lord's like, it's really not much different, DJ. You just need to live like you're on a mission. When we were in Zambia at one village, we were walking on a road. And this is the difference between, I feel like, living on mission and living and not. We see so many miraculous signs because we're there for a purpose. We fundraised for that thing. Like, you know, we traveled 3 days to get there. Like, you know, there's an expectation of things to happen. And, like, even I'm like, what? There's a guy walking down the road, and we're trying to walk to another house, and the people will walk by. But I felt the Lord very clearly. It's like, this dude needs salvation. Stopped him in the middle of the Lord, middle of the road. His name is Henry. Lead him to Christ, and forever his life has changed. But do I do that in the States when I'm in Walmart, or you know what I mean? Or if I'm like out walking Koa at the local park, like do I live in such a way that it's that in that same, we're on a mission. We're on a mission. Frankly, I don't as much as I would like to, and I've worked to change that and had opportunities this time in the States, but I feel like there's this appeal from heaven. Are we living on a mission? You don't have to be called to the nations. You don't have to, but you are called. You are commissioned to reach the ends of the world. And so that's honestly what I feel like the Lord wanted to do today. And that was the whole reason that I shared that video, was not necessarily to be like, hey, look at Overland, look at what it's doing, but it's like, those nations that have people that have never been reached, like, if that doesn't burn your heart, not even for the nations, just for the lost, whether that's two blocks down, whether that's in another country, like, this is what's any saying, and the Lord is just saying, like, listen, I did the work, I finished the work, I sent my son, you don't have to strive, Holy Spirit's inside of you, he's the one that'll give you the words to say. So often we think we have to be like Pastor Rob, or you have to be like a missionary, but the reality is you just need to be yourself in the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit. Not looking for you to be cookie cutter. He wouldn't have made us all different if he wanted to just toy soldiers that lined up. You know, there's an expression of the Lord that is unique to you. The Lord wants to do specifically through you. Sometimes we just need to open our mouth. Doesn't need to be eloquent. Doesn't need to be, yeah. I mean, Paul, the most educated person in the law that could run circles around pretty much anybody, said it's like, hey, I don't come with eloquence of speech, but a power and a demonstration of the Spirit. Like, I mean, he even said it's like kind of worth nothing compared to what the Lord is going to do. And so, so I hope you were encouraged, challenged. I'm going to be honest, this word has messed me up. You know, I'm one that's going to the Middle East, and I have to be reminded, like, what did I sign up for? You know, what was this motivation? Like, Lord, what? And it's just, he's just been hitting me with, like, Lord, DJ, this work's completed. Don't think about the atmosphere you're going into. Don't think about, you know, the challenges that might face. Think about what I've already accomplished in you. Don't think of your shortcomings. Think about how you can listen to my Spirit. And I'm just, I don't know, since then I'm just like, Lord, you can do whatever. I mean, in a couple years, Paul saw a city Ephesus flip on its head and tens of thousands of people taking their witchcraft stuff and burning it and being kicked out. I mean, it's just like something can happen like that. And the Lord can move and people get to walk into eternity from that specific tribe. And so, yeah. So if you guys would bow your head, there are two things I kind of want to pray for. First, I kind of want to pray for anybody that just like while I was talking, whether it was testimonies, whether it was stories, anything, that there's this burning in you right now of just like that appeal from heaven is like, I got to do something. I got to live on mission. There's got to be something. I just feel like the Lord wants to kind of mark you in a specific way today, that that would never leave you. And so if that's you, could you just raise your hand real quick? Thank you. Thank you. Whether it's for the nations, whether it's for your community, whether it's for your family. Praise God. So I'm just going to pray over you guys right now and just believe that the Lord is going to just mark you in a way that never before. And so, Lord, I thank you right now for those hands that were raised. Lord, I thank you that you see the cry of their heart. Lord, I thank you that you have put something, a burning upon their heart, and branded it into him, that it is a permanent mark that cannot be shaken. Father, I thank you for an increase in that. Lord, I thank you for an increase in the compassion and the love for people, that their hearts would be enlarged, for the lost enlarged, for their brothers and sisters in Christ enlarged, for the things of you. Lord, I thank you that they find themselves in your secret place more than before, where they get a download of your heart. Of your heart, the way that you see them, the way that you talk, the way that you walk. And Father, that their lives would be forever changed and forever marked, that they cannot look at someone according to the flesh any longer, but only see a destiny of heaven when they look at those people. Lord, I thank you for just if it's a passion for missions, Lord, that I thank you that you grow that and increase it, that becomes a fire that's burning within them, that they literally cannot sit still until they are sent. Lord, if it's for a passion for Washington, PA, or for the United States, or for this area, that the same thing would happen, that there would be such a fire on the inside of them that they could not sit down, that they would be awakened in the middle of the night with a burden for the people to intercede for them on their behalf, Father, to see their salvation, that there would be this attitude, this grit to them that it's like, Lord, I'm going to do it. You're gonna use me, and I don't care about my shortcomings. I don't care about, Lord, I thank you for what you've completed in me. So I'm gonna walk by your spirit and trust that you're gonna take care of the rest. And Lord, I thank you for that tenacity that is coming upon them, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for that. Second thing I wanted to pray for is, if you can keep your heads bowed. I love to pray for anxiety. When I was just praying, I just felt like maybe there was one, maybe a couple of you that anxiety was a thing that. I'm not talking about anxiety like I got to go on a plane ride for 3 hours and I hate flying. I'm talking something that's debilitating, that has actually like stopped you from doing some things and even been obedient to the Lord in certain areas. And the Lord just told me a couple weeks ago, in a time where I was anxious about things moving to the Middle East and all that and getting rid of things in the house and just even my own shortcomings, and the Lord came to me and he's like, hey, stop. That's mine. It's my anxiety. It's my sin. It's my shortcoming. You don't get to own that. You don't get to take that. I took that to the cross. It's mine. It's not yours. And I say that to you, that anxiety, that again, is not yours. It's the Lord's. You don't need to hold on to something that doesn't belong to you. In Peter, it says to cast all of our anxieties upon him because he cares for us. He completed the work. And so, if that's you, can you just raise your hand real quick? Heads bowed again. So Lord, we thank you right now that you have completed the work, that you went to the cross and died and defeated anxiety. You defeated sin And Lord, we pray against that right now, and we break that anxiety off of them in Jesus' name. And we speak freedom to them, and Lord, we ask for an empowerment of the Holy Spirit from the top of their heads to the bottoms of their feet. Father, that you would replace that with such a boldness in the Spirit that anxiety would be far from them, that they would learn when that thing comes to sniff its head back out, that they would cast it right back upon you. And so, Lord, I thank you right now for those things that have been, that anxiety that has debilitated them, that has made them choose different decisions. Instead of you, Lord, I thank you that it's gone in Jesus' name. It is not their portion. It is not their portion. It is not theirs. It's gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I speak 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And I believe that that's their portion, and even more so this next one. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, not because of what we've done, but because of his own purpose and his grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for that seal. I thank you that there's freedom. For freedom's sake, Lord, you set us free. Not because of what we did. For freedom's sake, just for the sake of freedom, you have set us free. In Jesus' name.